Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Tangents the Gaming Podcast. My name is Toby. Today, I actually did a decent episode. I edited it. I was about to post it, but I thought I'd go through, check how it sounds. And sadly, I looked over and realized my mic wasn't plugged in. And you know how most people have their mics on mute? Mine, on the other hand, was not plugged in. So basically, all the work that I did to record that wonderful episode went down the drain. Something that took me close to an hour to find out it sounded worse than, everything. Oh well. Today we are tackling a game that I was suggested to not long ago. And I decided, screw it. Let's do it today. And that is right. The good, the bad, and the utterly bizarre. We are going to be talking about Bugsy 3D. It was a 1996 platformer that was both infamous as well as a bit tragic. It wasn't a bit. It was horrifyingly tragic. So, folks, buckle up, because we are going to go on a journey to the mid-90s, when 3D gaming was the new frontier, and everybody was doing it, from the get-go, from Crash, to even Mario, and so much more. But Bugsy, on the other hand, was setting a bar for video game standards in a different direction, and it's not what you think either. So, hear me out. It's 1996, and the gaming world is a part of a revolution, as video game consoles were actually moving from 2D to 3D. And titles like Super Mario Brothers were blowing everybody's mind with their smooth gameplay and ideal graphics. But not all 3D games were just created. And none of them made a transition so gracefully like Bugsy. But as Bugsy stumbles in to the scene, developed by a company who would eventually go on to Siphon Filter series, which was actually a really good game. I'm not going to lie with that one. Bugsy 3D was an ambitious attempt to create a platforming masterpiece with Legos and macaroni and glue. But instead, what they delivered was often considered to be one of the worst video game performers of all time. Believe me. But, hey, it wasn't all bad. Actually, who am I kidding? Bugsy 3D was a train wreck. A horrifying train wreck. And that's what makes it so fascinating, right? For any of those who are unfamiliar with Bugsy, let's just have a little bit of a quick rundown. He was a bobcat who was supposed to be the mascot to rival the likes of Mario and Sonic. He debuted back in 1993 in Claw's Encounter of the Third Kind for the SNES. All right. With me, when I was doing the research for this, I didn't realize that. But that was actually quite an interesting name. Bugsy was fast, quirky, and had a personality that screamed the 90s. And with the 90s coming back, I would actually be kind of shocked that Bugsy pops back on the scene somehow, even if it's on this Super Nintendo or whatever. Not this game. This absolutely sucks. And became a meme before memes were a thing. By the time Bugsy 3D hit, it went terribly wrong. First of all, let's talk about graphics. I know, it's 1996, and the PlayStation's trying to figure out what they could do with the polygons. Well, they should. Tekken 3 figured it out. But Bugsy took a low poly to a whole new level. Let's just say Atari looked better. Bugsy himself looked like a collection of triangles and pixels, barely resembling himself as he once was. But the real kicker? The environment. Remember Crash, Super Mario 64, which made you feel like you were a part of it? Well, Bugsy 3D. No. The levels were a mess of floating platforms, abstract shapes, and looked like something that came out of Nightmare on Elm Street. God dang it. It was like the developer said, who needs textures when you got fat, flat, featureless surfaces just like my province of Saskatchewan? And no, I'm not editing that out. Screw that. But the graphics did not scare you away enough that you continued to play. The controls probably did. Now just imagine you're trying to move a tank in a China shop. Well, that's what the controls were like for Bugsy. They were slow, unresponsive, making it nearly impossible to land on platforms or avoid enemies. It was the worst. Trying to hop on something and you keep missing. I swear they put glue in the controller, then added a little bit of bubblegum for resistance, because it was that bad. Yet, players felt themselves battling with the camera, which had a mind of its own. Instead of focusing on Bugsy, it would drift and tilt in ways that made the simplest jumps a challenge. If you ever yelled at your TV because a game felt unfair, Bugsy 3D had you screaming, or throwing your controller across the room and having it stuck in the wall. Trust me, my landlord was not happy with that. So if you're into games where the camera fights back harder than your enemies, Bugsy 3D is for you. The enemies in Bugsy 3D, I found that there was a lack of them. Alright, now let's talk about the story. The story that should have been, or whatever passes as a story. Our brave little bobcat finds himself on an alien planet. You know, the alien planet that was flat, pointless. Fighting strange creatures and despite bid to, well, you know, not really sure what he was trying to do. I'm still trying to figure that out. The plot was paper thin, and honestly, no one was Bugsy 3D or playing Bugsy 3D for the grip narrative. I mean, come on. It is less than Star Wars and more of a 1960s sci-fi disaster. And I'm pretty sure the 60s sci-fi disaster will be better than this game. But perhaps the most memorable part of the game, I mean, Nightmare including, is Bugsy's voice acting. Our bobcat here never shuts up. He's constantly spouting one-liners. And not in a fun Duke Nukem kind of way. No. It's more like your little cousin who had a Red Bull and too much sugar and won't stop talking about anything. And we all know about that one person. But yes, what could go possibly wrong with this game? We have developers, we have planners, we have storytellers, we have everything at a display. Well, yeah, famous last words, says Bugsy. So with all this in mind, why does Bugsy 3D hold a place in gaming history, despite its flaws? No, let's be real. Because of its flaws. Sometimes you love the disasters more than the masterpiece. And this game has become a cult classic that people have grown to love to hate And for some of those gamers, it is a reminder how far the industry has come. It also is a perfect example of what happens when a game is rushed to market without the polish it needs. Kids of today will never understand buying a game, taking it home, finding it sucked, can't take it back because they won't allow it, so it just sits in your closet and it collects dust. But of course, the developers were ambitious, no doubt. They wanted to make a game to push on the PlayStation to its limits. Now, PlayStation limits? No, it's more like customers' frustration limits. But trying to do so, they overlooked everything from gameplay to controls to design. It is a cautionary tale of reality. Now, here's the wild part. The company behind Bugsy would go to develop Siphon Filter, one of the most beloved games on the PlayStation. That's right. The same team that made the worst made the best. And if that's not a redemption story, I really don't know what is. So, if you have it, Bugsy 3D, a game that reminds us that not every experiment in 3D was successful. Just take a look at this one, because sometimes failures are just as fascinating as its successors. Whether you play it, suffer through it, or just hear the horror stories, Bugsy 3D will forever be etched in history of gaming as one of the strangest performers ever. Well, you guys, thanks for tuning in to Tangents Gaming Podcast. As always, I'm your host. My name is Toby, reminding you that no matter how bad or how good the game is, there is always something to learn or laugh about. See you next time. But before you go, don't forget to follow us on social media, TangentsGaming189, email TangentsGamingPod@gmail.com, and subscribe on our Buy Me a Coffee for more deep dives into the weirder side of gaming history, reviews, stories, and so much more. And if you got any gaming disasters or stories that you want to share, email it to us, tangentsgamingpod@gmail.com, and we will read it out to people. So hopefully you're not planning to go out to, you know, play this game, but I recommend doing it, or even at least watching the video on YouTube. But this episode is brought to you by Drinks with Josh on Twitter, as well as their podcast, Drinks with Josh. Until next time, you guys, hopefully have a great day, and I'll see you next time right here on Tangents Gaming Podcast. Peace!